The following is an independent program. The opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WECK, its management, staff, or advertisers.
Welcome to Parent Talk, discussing topics from infants to teens and every age in between. Here's the host of Parent Talk, Linda O'Connor.
Hey, good morning. It's Saturday, April 8th. It's expected to be partly cloudy today with a high of just 46 degrees. It's going to be a lot warmer tomorrow on Sunday with sunny skies and temperature climbing to 64 degrees and 74 on Monday. What a change from Friday with the snow that we got, huh? What a difference. Hey, this morning we're going to be offering some tips for parents of transgender children. You know, you may be in disbelief that your child is a transgender. You may be feeling confused, angry, or skeptical. For this show, we're going to share some tips on how to adjust and process this information, deal with your feelings, help support and assist your child, and approach the situation with forethought and compassion. My guest is Seth Reines, who will offer wisdom from his own life. Seth lived a lie until he was in his 50s. That's when he transitioned from a female to a male, leaving behind an unhappy life in which he could not be who he really wanted to be, which was a man who loves riding motorcycles, hiking the Rockies, and punching holes in the fears and misconceptions people have about what it means to be transgender in a not always accepting world. Possessing a master's degree in psychology and rehab counseling, Seth is a sought-after keynote speaker whose presentations to parents, students, educators, and corporate audiences are known for their truthfulness and their humor. Having grown up in the 50s when the word transgender was virtually unknown, Seth feels a special affinity for transgender teenagers. That's why in 2016 he authored Real Talk for Teens, a Jumpstart Guide to Gender Transitioning and Beyond. It's actually the first book on transitioning written specifically for a teenage audience. Professionals are also recommending the book as well to anyone who's connected with the transgender community. So I am so fortunate, we are so fortunate to have Seth on the air with us this morning. Seth, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me on.
You know, this is something, because I grew up in the 50s too, well, actually late 50s, early 60s, and this was something people just didn't talk about. It wasn't a subject that came up. So this is kind of all new for all of us, I think. So I think the best way to start this is, if you don't mind, let's hear about your journey, how you got to where you are today. You were born a female.
Right, I was born a female in Baltimore, Maryland. And it's ironic because things are coming 360 at this moment in time, which I'll get to in a sec. But my parents took me to Dr. John Money over at Johns Hopkins when I was around 8 or 9 years of age, and I think part of it was to redo an IQ test. And in those days, they gave what they called the MMPI, which is the Minnesota Multiphasic, and that was the test of people who are mentally ill, and of which one of those traits back in the 60s was homosexuality. Of course, today it's not. They took that out of the DSM manual in 73. But, needless to say, I sat in front of Dr. John Money, and he held up a couple pictures of female and male anatomy and asked me what they were, which one I had and which one I wanted, and I got the first two right, but you know, and you wonder how kids know that. They innately know that. If someone has a gender identity concern, or that's what they're going through, it's something that's formed in your body between 18 months and 3 years of age. It's the same thing with sexual orientation and being gay. It's something that you know innately. It's not something you can fix or try to, you know, convert or take people into these programs to have them say all these different mantras to, you know, become straight or to not be trans. It's really an internal thing, and I think that's hard for people to understand because they can't put it in a box and they can't fix it.
Right.
But in my time I was lucky because I actually had parents that basically, my dad said, just let her do what she wants, which was pretty liberal back then.
No, wait a second. So he is very open with this. He's saying just let
her. Well, I don't know what this was because, you know, we're going back so long. But
right.
I remember asking my mother a long time ago, but, you know, way after the fact. And she said, your father just said, you know, to let her do what she wants. So they did. They did let me do what I wanted. I mean, but there were issues, you know. You have to dress in a dress, and you have to do this, and you have to do all that, because we don't want to be embarrassed. I mean, it wasn't a perfect world, but it was far greater in my day, and even today, you know, for parents, because a lot of parents today still aren't liberal.
Right.
But, you know, when we talk about what's going on, and in my life, there was nowhere to get that education.
Right.
You know, and when I speak, I do remind people there was a phone on the wall with a cord attached, and you dialed it in a rotary, and, you know, we had two radio stations or two TV stations, and news was only on an hour a day. And,
mm-hmm.
and so there was really not a lot of places to get that information. So how did you get it? You got misinformation from someone's uncle who told someone's cousin who now told you.
Right.
And that's what my generation is having, you know, issues or concerns with now, because, like, where did this come from? But you know what? Transgender people have always been around.
Right. And let me just jump in and say, because I grew up with that same era. I was born in 59. There was no Google. So you
right,
couldn't,
exactly.
You couldn't
exactly.
Google.
No internet, no
right,
nothing.
Nothing.
And,
so,
I mean, maybe a dusty book in a library, but let me ask you, when you went to a library, what were you asking for?
Exactly. You wouldn't know. Exactly.
You wouldn't know
struggling.
The terms, and,
right.
and you wouldn't know. And even if you did know, those terms have changed, you know, from, you know, back in the 50s and 60s to today, and they're forever, you know, sort of changing as we go. So, I mean, for me, I'm growing up in a Jewish family, and I think that does have something to do with it. I just had a lot of education. I grew up very strong. My mother told me that I have to grow alligator skin and that I can't let things affect me. And I learned at an early age, not knowing, you know, that there would ever be a light at the end of my tunnel, to not let people offend me, to not let people, you know, sort of poke fun at me, you know, sticks and stones. And I tried to carve whatever life I thought I could, which I thought was in the gay world, because at a young age I was attracted to women. And so where was I going to go to meet women but a gay bar?
Right.
Even though I never considered myself to be gay. And it really wasn't until my latter life until I just said, I just can't do this anymore. Plus, I was old enough that I didn't need anyone's permission, and this was already coming onto the scene. You could find it on the internet. You could find things about it. I could relate to people that I saw, which is what younger kids are doing today, which I think is great. You know, they're not going through it alone, thinking they're the only one, and there must be something wrong with them.
Right. Well, let me ask you a question, because not being in your shoes, you sound like you knew at a very early age that you were in the wrong body, essentially. Is that how it feels? Explain to
right,
us.
Right. I didn't have those terms, but yes. You know, I just knew I was different. My insides are telling me that, you know, what I see is not what my mind is telling me should be there.
Right.
And, again, it's hard for people to understand, because, you know, you still deal with people that say you're influencing your child, you're indulging them. It's very difficult when children come to you at 2 and 3. So
right.
If we just stop and look and use a little common sense and give our kids credit, especially in today's world, because the information is there, they can go to places and get the right help. You just have to go with the flow.
And I guess the question is, because this is a very young age, you're saying this
yeah.
is something you thought at 7, and you're talking about 2 and 3 year olds. I mean, could this be something, a phase? When does a parent pay attention, and how do they make, you don't want to make this the only
right, no,
issue.
Right, right. I agree. I know where you're going. And here's what I can tell people that are listening out there. And there's so many TV shows, you know, you can watch, especially I Am Jazz. I mean, that her life is exactly pretty much what most people go through. There are patterns. You know, when you start to read autobiographies and biographies, after a while, the pattern is very clear. And that doesn't mean every kid's going to say something at 3. Some could be 8. Some could be 12. You know, it just depends on the child. It depends on whether they feel it's okay to say something, because we all know what we can and can't say at our houses,
mm-hmm.
depending on what we've heard. But by and large, what people can look out for are three things. It's a persistency.
Mm-hmm.
It's insistent, and it's consistent. So, in other words, it's not a phase when the child is relentless, telling you, "I'm not going to wear that dress," or "I don't want to wear that dress," or "I want to have bows or high heels," whichever way the child is leaning towards their gender identity. They don't give up.
Gotcha.
And you know, phases, people go through things and come out. And honestly, when a child is young, they're not going to do anything. You know, if you take them in, all they're going to do is say, look, let your kid wear pants or let your kid wear a dress or change their hair, because it's like the outside wrapper. You know, there's no harm in that. And honestly, if you took any two children of younger age before puberty and dressed them in opposite clothes, you couldn't tell the difference, because puberty is when the sexual characteristics start to click in, to really, you know, deviate between what looks physically like a boy and what looks physically like a girl.
Right. So if your child comes to you and a parent is trying to wonder, is my child really transgender? Knowing if they're persistent, insistent, and consistent, kind of is a red flag that, yeah, maybe this
right,
is something
right.
we have to
I
pay
mean,
attention
they're,
to.
They're relentless.
Right.
And, you know, here's the funny part. When the children are younger, they're a blank slate, right? And so where is that coming from? And so if they're persistent in telling you, you know, we have to step back as adults and sort of look and say, wow, you know, where is this kid getting this from? They're not 3 years old on the Internet, or they're not 5 years old. They're not reading these things. They're not watching YouTube videos, where I can understand where parents would say, wow, we never knew it. You know, the child didn't give us any signs. Well, I get that. I mean, many people don't give many people signs in life when they find out something about them that they never knew.
Right.
It's really, it comes down to our generation, my generation, just being educated and being open.
Right. Well, I think, go ahead, I'm sorry.
The suicidal statistics are horrific. I mean, you know, for trans kids, well over 40%, and I think it's even creeping up, will attempt and may succeed in taking their lives.
That's terrible.
And that's like 2% of the national average. So it's very real. And working with the kids that I've worked with, it's amazing when the parents are on board and they give the child support, which is the biggest thing that money can't buy,
mm-hmm.
and you allow the child to be themselves. I mean, the story just repeats and repeats. You know, my child is happy. They have friends. They're doing well in school. And it's just great to see our kid happy. When parents don't, likely the child may start to show signs of depression or anxiety, maybe even cutting. And they're trying to treat that, when in essence that's the secondary problem to the initial, which is that they're transgender.
Right, I understand. So I guess what, and I'm really trying to understand this, it sounds as though somebody, a child that's transgender, it's an inherent knowledge that one feels inside.
It's innate. I call it innate.
Innate, okay. Innate. And your body and mind aren't in sync? Is that kind of how?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what they call gender dysphoria. You know, you look in the mirror, I'm giving the layman's terms, you look in the mirror and the way you see yourself isn't what your body parts look like, so most kids cover those up, and there's kids that'll take a shower with their clothes on, because they don't want to see those parts. It really, really affects them, especially if, you know, they start to go into puberty. Then it becomes really, really frightful for kids that this isn't me, I don't want this, you know, whatever. And so I always tell people that, you know, what's the harm in if your child expresses what appears to be transgender, I don't want to say tendencies, because it is what it is. You know, you go to the right doctor. You go to a gender therapist. And today, if you Google that, it's just, there's a plethora of information on the Internet. And like the HRC.org has all the different LGBT clinics in the country. Depending on where you live, there are a lot of hospitals that are now have what they call, you know, LGBT clinics, and people who are really educated and well-versed, and at least you can say, well, I went to a doctor, you're in good hands. You're not going to someone who may try to insert their beliefs into you, saying, well, you know, the Bible doesn't, you know, wherever they go, religiously,
right,
or they say this just can't be. That's harmful.
Right.
It's harmful. And again, it's my generation. It just needs the education.
I understand.
And if I can shift someone's perspective just a little bit, say like, wow, we don't have two boxes. You're not like a man and you're straight and you're in this box, or a woman and you're straight and you're in this box. You know, there's so broad of a spectrum between those two boxes, and I think that's what we're learning. You know, it's not, you know, 2 feet apart, the boxes. They're miles apart.
Right.
There's so many people that fit in many ways on that spectrum.
And that's interesting that you bring this up, because I think if my child had come to me and said, you know, hey, I'm attracted to women, I don't feel like I'm in the right body, I think my initial thought might be, are they actually gay? So how do you address that?
Well, I mean, if the child is you know, 4 or 5 or 7 or whatever, and they show signs of being transgender, they're not even thinking about attraction, right? Attraction usually comes in puberty. You know, when all the hormones kick in, you know, and then to this day, and these days it could be 10 or 11. I mean, in my day it was 12, 13, and 14,
right.
But yeah, I don't know if it's the hormones in our food, I don't know what, but kids are maturing earlier. Attraction is just something totally different.
Good
I mean,
point.
The easy way to remember it is gender identity is who you go to bed as, and sexual orientation is who you go to bed with, and they're miles apart. And,
that's a good way to put it.
And I think the reason, just I can add, that people don't understand gender identity because most people don't have an issue with that. They get up, they get dressed. Their biggest choice is, am I wearing a skirt or I'm wearing a tie or
right.
am I wearing, you know, sweatpants or whatever, and where am I going? I'm
right.
going to work, I'm going to pick up the kids, I'm going to go here. But when a child is transgender, they never escape that. It's a perseveration in their head that just keeps spinning and spinning and spinning. And when they get up, they have to, okay, I don't want to wear those clothes. You know, everything that they look at is an annoyance compared to what's going on in their head, because it's like, no, I'm a boy, I don't want to wear that dress.
Gotcha. So,
and I remember fighting with my mother, seriously, for the longest longest time. But again, back in our day, it was different. And actually, for my 40th birthday, I actually said to my mother, we are no longer discussing what clothes I'm going to wear. Because I didn't want to hurt her. I didn't want to, you know,
right.
I didn't want to do that. That, and when you grow up in different families, you want to respect your parents, you want to do that. But I finally got to the point where I'm like, really? This has got to stop.
This is enough.
And it was tough.
Right.
It's hard to say no, but I did it. Today our kids are much more educated, and a lot of times a trans child will come to the parents and dump what looks like an encyclopedia of information on the desk, because they've researched it, they've done it all, and they're way ahead of their
mm-hmm.
parents, and already they're already wanting surgery, and the parents are, whoa, wait a minute, you know, we got to get on board, and that does happen. And that's why there's support groups. I mean, PFLAG, PFLAG.org, has over 400 support groups in the country. There's always somebody that they can reach out to get support. And that's peer-to-peer support, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's a parent of a child, they can talk to other parents who have been through it, have been where they are, and they help them along. And it's amazing how affirmative that support is.
I love that. What I'd like to do is take a quick break, but when we come back, what I'd like to continue talking about is let's put ourselves in a parent's shoes. Their child has just come to them, and you know, you're understanding that my child may be transgender. So I'd like to know how they should respond, how they should help, what they should do, when they should maybe come to terms with maybe surgery is something we've got to, you know, do and consider. And so if you don't mind, I think that's a lot of great information that we could provide our listeners.
Sure.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we're going to continue talking with Seth Reines. I'm sorry, how do I pronounce your name? I'm sure I'm saying it wrong.
Seth Reines,
okay. And we're talking this morning about tips for parents of transgender children. You know, you hear this so often, but my goodness, do you know how to respond? Do you know how to make sure your child feels comfortable with what they're coming to you? This is a wonderful thing that they're sharing it with you. So let's talk about this and understand how we should respond and how we can help our children. That's all coming up after the break. You're listening to Parent Talk on FM 102.9 and AM 1230, Timeless WECK.
The following is an independent program. The opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WECK, its management, staff, or advertisers.
Welcome back to Parent Talk. Here's Linda O'Connor.
Hey, welcome back. If you're just joining us this morning, we're talking about tips for parents of transgender children. You know, you might be in disbelief that your child could be transgender. You may be feeling confused or angry, skeptical. For this show, we're sharing tips on how to adjust and kind of process this information, deal with your feelings, and help support and assist your child. And we're very fortunate to have Seth Reines on the phone with us. He's sharing wisdom from his own life. Seth was actually born female in the 50s, and he transitioned from female to male, leaving behind an unhappy life. And like I said, we're very happy to have him on the phone. Seth, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Right before the break, I said I wanted to talk about, you know, how a parent should respond. So let's walk through the steps. You know, my child has just come and admitted that, you know, I don't feel like my body and my mind are in sync. I don't feel like I was born a female, but I feel like I'm actually a boy. How do we respond? What kind of questions, you know, what should we be doing?
Well, if that happens today, I mean, you'd have to be under a rock not to have heard the word transgender.
Right.
No good or bad.
Right, I agree.
So it isn't, it's not as great a shock as it could have been 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the point that I encourage parents to realize is that, first off, the child's not responsible for the parent's reactions. They've got to be able to, you know, react in their own way, but not in front of the child, because that will be a moment that a transgender child will remember for the rest of their lives, is that first moment that they have enough guts for whatever it is to actually talk to their parents about something that is way more, how can I say it, way more serious than, you know, the dog ate my homework, or,
right,
you know, someone, you know, wrecked my bicycle. So that being said, for a child to muster up the courage, they either can't handle everything that's going on in their own body, or depending on the age, they've done research on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be great if people could just sit and listen to their child and hear what their child has to say, and then try to find someone in their general area. Now, of course, there's not going to be a gender therapist on everybody's block. You may have
right.
to drive an hour. But it's worth it, because it's not something you're going to be doing every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worth it to be in the right hands to try to, you know, say, let's go and let's talk about this. Because if the child is transgender, it's going to be there. It's going to show. And I say to parents, you know, when you're pregnant, you had a kid, it was a boy, it was a girl. I mean, I joke and I tell people you've had the chance now to have both. But the situation is, everybody wants a happy child. They want a happy, healthy child. And,
mm-hmm.
and I understand the parents' concerns, because they're, what kind of life will this child have? You know, will they be able to meet anybody? Will they ever have a family? Yeah, they will. I mean, everybody finds their own way, and everybody
right.
finds someone in their life. The environment we're in right now, we're at a little bump in the road. I'm sure in due time, things will absolutely get better. But parents know that. They know there's up and downs in our environment. Children don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have to keep it very positive for kids, because they've only lived, you know, 6 years, 8 years, 12 years. They don't know that things go up and things go down.
So the first thing is to really listen to them.
Yeah, listen.
Really listen
and try to listen openly
mm-hmm.
and not with emotion. And I know it's difficult.
Oh, my gosh,
I absolutely
yes.
know it's difficult not to react. You know, you would like to be able to respond and just take in what the child says and work on it together.
Mm-hmm.
First off, just because a child comes to you tomorrow doesn't mean they're getting surgery the next day.
Right.
You know, that's years down the road, especially if the child is young. And may I add, some kids don't take hormones. Some kids don't do surgery. You know, it's really unique to each child. So I know parents' minds go right to, you know, the genitals. And that's what our world has taught us, which
mm-hmm.
unfortunately is, it's kind of a sad thing, because really it's about what's between your ears and not what's between your legs.
Right. Good
but
point.
The world makes it that way.
Well, it's interesting, because I'm just thinking of myself and how I would respond to something like this. And gosh, those initial reactions must last forever. So you'd hope you keep them in check. And then I think the first thing parents are probably concerned about, how's the rest of the family going to react? How are
right.
friends going to react?
Right.
So how do you address that? What would you say to them in that situation?
This is what I say. What I say, if this is the road, okay, you know, you're jumping in at A, you're not going to go to Z. That day, it's a journey, it's a marathon, it's not a 100-yard dash. And I always encourage parents, you know, because maybe the mother will be on board, the father won't, everybody's dynamics are different, but when they get to a certain point where they are okay with it, because this is truly the road they're going on, and they have confidence and they've educated themselves, then is when they should tell the family or friends, because they're going to get from a lot of people pushback.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're sort of unsteady, or you're not, you know, sort of steadfast in your belief, they're going to say, well, look at you don't feel this way, so why are you doing this with your kid? When everybody's on board, and they get it and they have the clear picture and they're not being tainted by what friends could say. It basically really comes down to, this is our child. Our child was born Mary, now is Marty. We love our child. We're going to do what we believe absolutely is the best thing for them, and you're either on board with us or you're not. And yes, do some people fall by the wayside? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually the people that you think are going to stay with you, and the ones that you think are going to leave you are the ones that actually stay. It's really strange how that dynamic
really?
Works, but I hear that over and over again.
Really? That's good to hear.
Or some people find that they send an email. And sometimes that's the best, because you lay it out, this is the situation, this is this, and then you give the person on the other end a time to react, not in front of you, if that's what they're going to do.
Mm.
And then they come back to you and they go, this is great, we support you, or you know, they have their moment, you know, of, so to speak, getting hit on the head. You know, they have their moment to sort of come back to themselves and say, you know what, we support you, what can we do? Because once the parents are on board and they sort of kind of draw that line in the sand, you know, most of the people get on board.
Right.
They really do, because now it hits home.
Right.
It's not a word that's out there somewhere. It's in our immediate circle, and we love, you know, Mary or Marty, and we want them to be happy, and we're going to do everything we can because the parents are on board and they have drawn the line in the sand that this is the way it's going to be.
You know, in a perfect world, I would love to hear every parent responded this way.
Oh my gosh.
I'm a huge fan of The Voice, and I was watching it the other day, and there was I don't remember her name, but a beautiful singer, a beautiful young woman, and she, I think was born, if I remember correctly, from a family, the father was a minister.
Right.
So she kept her sexuality to herself. She was gay, and she finally came out to her parents, and they disowned her.
Right.
And you could see the pain in this young, beautiful woman's, you know, voice, and as she told her story and as she sang her songs. And I thought, my God, you know, you love your children. And yes, maybe she was born and you were hoping she would have a husband and children, and this has changed, but whose life is it? You know, they're still your child.
Well, yeah.
And this is a hard one. I mean, transgender, I mean, I'm just thinking to myself, there's got to be a feeling of loss. You know, a parent has a little girl, so they're planning on walking them down the aisle. They have all these things that they're planning.
They actually go through, and we encourage it, they actually go through a period of grieving, right? Because it's a grieving of their dreams and you know, the white picket fence and whatever else they dreamt about. But you know what? That person can still walk down the aisle. It's just that there is definitely a psychological period, and for some people, 6 months, you know, maybe a year. But again, when someone transitions, if that's the road they're taking, it's a marathon. I mean, this is years.
Right.
And if your child is 3 and you're starting this, you're not doing anything with that child till maybe 10 or 11 or 12 to block puberty, which is actually a godsend if the child is transgender, because it's less surgeries. And the child is freer to be themselves and also mature at the age that all their peers are maturing at, which is important too.
Mm-hmm.
But when religion plays a steep part, regardless of who you are, that this could be the sieve mm-hmm. between families, and it's a shame.
It's really a shame.
I wish there were more people, even in today, that get on board. There are people that maybe never get on board, and people have to go live it alone.
It's a subject I think people are trying to grasp, but it is, you know, to somebody that doesn't feel that way, it's so foreign, and trying to understand it. And again, it goes back to, I think, even myself, when I first heard about transgenders, Sonny and Cher Bono's daughter.
Jazz
is now a male, but he is with a female. So you think, well, isn't he just gay? But as you're explaining it, I understand it's not just who you're attracted to, it's how you feel inside this body, like this is not right.
And people also think if someone transitions, their orientation may change. Not necessarily. It's the label that the world puts on you.
Mm.
Because like before I transition, I like women. So, oh, you're gay. But you know what? I transition, I like women. Oh, I'm straight. Did I change? You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
My orientation didn't change.
Right.
And very rarely does it change. It could.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't go hand in hand.
Right. That makes sense. So I guess the biggest thing here is to listen to your child. And if this is something that they're persistent, consistent, and insistent about, you know, a gender therapist sounds like, tell me, what would a gender therapist offer? Is this somebody that's schooled in exactly
yes.
transgendering?
You have to ask that. I mean, I live in New Jersey, so they cannot do reparative or conversion therapy in New Jersey. It is fraudulent. There, unfortunately, I just saw something on 2020, 2 weeks ago, about the gay conversion schools all in the South and even in Indiana. It's really scary. It's really sad. And government can't intervene because they claim it's religious, so it's a problem. So you have to clearly, you know, I would call a therapist. Again, they can look online to find any of the LGBT clinics that are near them. And for some people, it could be 2 hours away, yeah. I mean, even in New Jersey, until recently, people were going to New York City or they were going to Philadelphia. We had nothing in Jersey just till recently. So, but you're not going there a lot. Your first question is, do you have any transgender patients? And if they're hemming and hawing, you know, it's not the person you want to be with. And if they say, well, half my practice is transgender or yes, I'm a gender therapist, that gives you a clear sign that you're in the right hands, because they follow specific guidelines from the WPATH, WPATH.org. There is a standards of care guidance that's been out for, oh, I don't know how many years, 20 years or more, of exactly what steps should be taken, you know, that doctors should take with, you know, under 18 and over 18. And that's, you know, anybody can go up to the WPATH.org and download the standards of care. You can do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's out there. And so they follow that. It's a huge world organization where people from all over the world get together every 2 years in psychology and psychiatry and surgery. You know, what's out there? What are we doing? It's just a plethora of information and upcoming information for everybody to be updated in the world of the transgender, you know, community.
Gotcha. And question here, a gender therapist, so I am understanding this completely, is this somebody that at your initial meeting, are they trying to determine whether in fact your child is transgender, or this has already been decided and now we're going forward?
No, they follow the standards of care, and there's a certain intake and there's certain practices that they go through, you know, in the intake of talking to that child to, you know, say yes or no, because they've got guidelines now for over 20 years. It used to be where you'd have to do what they call RLE, which is real life experience. You'd have to live in the gender that you were transitioning to. Like for me, I'd have to live as a male for 2 years before they would even do anything.
Mm.
Well, maybe I could get by, but someone who's transitioning from male to female, which is MTF, that's a dangerous situation, as you well know, because that particular part of the population is what's spurring, they're not, but that's what they're trying to hide behind, and spurring the HB2 law and the bathroom law, and we don't want a man in the bathroom, and we've got laws for that. Those are pedophiles, those are exhibitionists, those are perverts. We have laws on the books for that. Someone who's a transgender woman is going to do her best with the makeup and the hair and everything to just even get out of her house, you know, and not be laughed at or pointed at. Their greatest accomplishment is to blend in with society so no one points them out. And
right.
So it takes everything they can to you know, appear as though they're a woman in the way they feel it, and to walk into the bathroom. And may I add, transgender women have been going to the bathroom for 50, 100 years. Nobody's said anything. There's never been an incident. And this is what people are forgetting. If there's a man in the bathroom, I would certainly, you know, no matter what in my day, if I saw a man or anybody that looked kind of suspicious, because we live in that world today, right, to absolutely say something. But it's not going to be a transgender woman. They're actually the one that fear for their lives in
right.
the bathrooms.
And I'm thinking the transgender women's bathroom, you have a private stall, so you're not
right.
witnessing anything.
And let me ask you, when's the last time you saw someone's genitals in a stall in a bathroom?
Well,
I mean,
I'm just
seriously,
saying,
you
don't.
Know, sometimes we forget our
yeah.
common sense.
Right.
And the bathrooms in our house are gender neutral anyway. I
right.
mean, so sometimes we, you know, when somebody points out the obvious, they go, yeah, you know, you're right. It's a hard thing to get over, and it's sad that people have to figure out where they're going to go during the course of the day and where they can go to the bathroom. You know, there's a site on the internet now that tells you where all the transgender friendly bathrooms are. I mean, it's kind of like someone who has IBS, right? They plan their day by where the toilets are.
Right.
It's the same. It's actually the same thing as far as planning it, but not the same thing as
but
far
Seth,
as
But, Seth, I have to be honest. If somebody is appearing, their outward appearance is a woman, if somebody that was transgender walked into a woman's bathroom, walked into the stall, I would not know. Nobody else would know either. So,
right.
You know.
I mean, and this is why it's very important, because the crucial part of transitioning is actually the male to female. And the reason it's crucial is because male puberty is harsh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a firmer jawline, you get a beard, you get the Adam's apple, you know, maybe your hands will get bigger, you may be 6 feet tall. Those are things that no matter what you do, you can't undo to a certain degree.
Right.
And that's why I encourage people to watch the show I Am Jazz, because she knew when she was 2 to 3 years old that she wasn't a boy, and you follow her whole history and her whole life, and because she's somebody of a public figure now, obviously you know who she is, but would you not know that, you wouldn't know that on the street.
Right, I agree.
Because her voice didn't change, she's not growing a beard. As far as surgery, well, she'll deal with that in time when and if she wants to do that, but to the naked eye, she's a woman, and she would never give a second look to anybody who would give her a second look in a bathroom.
That's
and that's the problem.
Right. No, I agree with you. And I think just to wrap it up here, because we're running out of time, I think one of the concerns, because I have no concern about a transgender woman using a bathroom. I wouldn't even know it, frankly, and if they're in the stall. I think that the issue that I think a lot of parents concern themselves with is when we start talking about locker rooms and changing
right.
and
right.
young children.
Well, I'll just tell you something quickly about that.
Okay, please.
Real fast. Yes, I understand that, but if you're in high school or you're in college and you haven't had surgery and you haven't done anything, you know, a female to male has got a binder on, which is worse than a girdle. They may be packing something like a prosthesis in their underwear, and they've got so much stuff going on under the clothes, they're not going to be sitting in the locker room throwing all that stuff off and having it roll across the floor and having people make fun of them. You know, chances are they may go into the bathroom and change their clothes, or and vice versa, you know, for the male to female, because they don't want to see it, and they don't want anybody else to see it.
Right, gotcha.
So, I mean, if safety's an issue, then safety's an issue. You have a safety problem in your locker room, you know, if people are going to beat up on someone. That's not a transgender problem.
Right. I think people have to just continue to research and find out as much information so we can all understand and just accept
right.
everybody
exactly.
as who they are.
Right. The kids get it. The
right.
kids get it, unless they grow up in a home that's, you know, prejudicial. But the kids get it, and the kids flow with anything. Okay, so you're trans. Let's go. What are we doing next? You know, they don't give it a thought. It's our generation who has been, well, lack of better term, segregated from that information because it just wasn't there.
Right.
So we're running around with crazy stories that we've heard.
Right. Well, let's just talk briefly about your book. If somebody wants to get your book, Real Talk for Teens, A Jumpstart Guide to Gender Transitioning Beyond, or if they want to find out, you know, find you, your website, would you share that information with
sure.
us?
Sure. My website, the easy way to remember it is sjspeaks.com. And, I mean, my book is on my website, but they can also get it on Amazon. It's up on Amazon. And I encourage them to read the reviews and get that book, because professionals are using that book themselves to help themselves. And sometimes it's good to give it to someone in the family.
Right.
You know, they understand all the different issues that go around.
And,
you know,
and tell me briefly, how is your life today?
My life today is great. I mean, I've dedicated this piece of my life to actually educating people. You know, I always joke and say I want to speak myself out of a living. Because I know that, you know, I've done my job, right?
Right.
And again, it's my generation. And also in corporations, it's unconscious bias. It's, you know, it's everything. It expands a little further than that. But I think if people understand it, then they know the truth, then at least maybe they'll become an ally. You know, maybe if it's not what they would want for their kid, but at least they understand
right.
it a little better. And maybe they will stop the next person from spewing hatred.
And I think
that's all I can hope for.
Right. I think that's the whole thing. It's just understanding. You know, it's foreign to us, you know, myself. It's foreign to a lot of parents, a lot of people out there. But I think you've shed a lot of light on it. You've certainly cleared up some of the misconceptions I had. Hopefully we've done the same for our listeners. And I so appreciate the time that you spent with us this morning. We'll have to bring you on later on another time and talk even further. So thank you for
absolutely.
Your time this
just
morning.
Absolutely. Just contact me, and I'll be more than happy to come on any time and hopefully educate more listeners.
I love it. Thank you so much, Seth.
All righty. Enjoy your day.
You too. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. And, folks, I have to say that was not an easy topic to cover. I think, transgender children, you hear more and more about them. The information is available on Google. We see more on television. So information is out there. But